Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Launch angle, I think, you know, it's not a fad.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing and all the lovely ways you get a hold of us.
And most of all, thank you for listening all week.
Oh, that has been kind of you, and we certainly appreciate that. And thanks to Dustin for his wonderful Dustin-ness and the way that he influences everything in our lives. And Kevin, yeah, you did okay. Ray, bless you, sir. You are a one. Why am I being mean to Kevin? Kevin, I heard your podcast drop, pal.
You heard that, didn't you?
I heard people are talking about it. People are following you on Twitter.
Since you brought it up, you can, of course, follow the podcast on Twitter at Screamer Howler. Thank you, Mully.
I've listened to it and I've loved it. And now, one of the great moments of our day, of our week, we get to welcome in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight, our friends and colleagues, our score mates, our score friends.
Hey, guys.
Good morning,
fellas.
We
are all brothers in sports.
Good morning.
Unsurprising news that dropped last night. I don't think anybody was shocked to see
the timing of it was a bit surprising. Right?
I mean, nine days later, it's kind of like a
delayed reaction.
Did they
meet with him twice before they decided that he wasn't going to listen?
I didn't hear that they met with him twice, but I was told that this decision was made some time ago and just finally announced yesterday. I mean, we heard it from him. You heard Theo pretty raw describing what was going on. And there's a lot of layers to this that we're going to sort of peel back today. Anybody that listens to our show, Bernstein and McKnight, 9-1, heard last week that I said there were multiple material Cubs that specifically in their exit interviews expressed their dissatisfaction with the hitting instruction. It expressed their dissatisfaction with what had happened to their swings and their approaches. And whatever you want to say about it, they're the customers. Regardless of what the actual effect is, we can debate that all day. And you know how I feel about hitting coaches generally, but if there's a perception that, I mean, the phrase that my source used was, he said it was difficult to not make this decision based on what they heard, and they thought it would be counterproductive to retain him.
What'd they hear from Joe? Does it matter?
He's not the customer.
Who hired this guy? Do we know yet?
We got two different answers
from two different people. It was
Gordon said he's a Joe guy. Gammon said it was a Theo guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is he was available, and they made him a priority. They made Chili Davis a priority.
They claimed
right?
They fired the other guy because he was
only
available.
Only because Chili Davis was available, and that's why firing Chili and the hiring of whomever is going to be next, neither of those are the answers for what hurt you this season.
Right.
They just can't be. They told you that it wouldn't be. They described in many different ways how the development of these hitters isn't going to be completely and wholly influenced by a hitting coach. So Chili here, Chili gone. I mean, the excuse has to be, or the reason has to be, that he was more of a hindrance than a help. That said, Kyle Schwarber's got to get his stuff right. Ian Happ has to get his stuff right. Wilson Contreras, the list goes on.
The lack of development of some of the young players is because they changed hitting coaches?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
But if those players think...
Isn't that what this is saying, partially?
If they think it's an impediment... Like the reason I use the term customer is there's a perception here. If they believe that the work that they were doing was unproductive, if they think that, all this change does is give them an opportunity to get a fresh start when all that matters is they think it. That's what they heard back. I mean, you can never say with a hitting coach, this was good, this was not, this helped, this. But all that matters is that they think it.
They should fire Greg Walker. This transition brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition. by all accounts, that's the only firing. No one else shall go.
Well, we'll see. Hitters always talk about this. Every veteran hitter we've talked to over the years will say, I'm my own hitting coach. But it takes time to become your own hitting coach. And I think that's what we're learning here. That I don't know if it's Chili Davis's fault, as much as you're John Maley, whatever you want to say. The fact is, these guys, Connor, you just said, Hap, Contreras, Schwarber.
Let's not forget Almora, too.
Almora, they're at a critical point of learning how to be their own hitting coach. And maybe if they just need to
hear other voices. So if you removed the hitting coach in part because of his inability to reach those guys, or those guys, the customers objecting to this guy, are you less likely to entertain trade proposals for those players?
I don't think they're necessarily
unaffected.
I don't think they're connected, but I think the likelihood of them entertaining trade proposals this offseason was fairly low for those guys anyway, for a couple of reasons. One is
Ian Happ's got to be.
They're
a guy
all low on the. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not good
to deal.
But why would you deal these 23, 24, and 25 year old players at the very low point of their value when you are connected and committed to every single one of those guys panning out on your major league
trade
roster?
Trade high, buy players low. I mean, it's very obvious. What I don't understand, Jason Hayward did well, I guess, comparatively. Who else did we
Zobrist.
Decide? Baez
had an MVP season.
But Zobrist, he's his own hitting coach, isn't he? But I'm just saying,
you're supposed to be your own hitting coach. That's largely my point.
But I get your point. I'm just saying, who would be affected negatively by this? Joe? I mean, if he's buddies with the guy. I mean, just saying.
What's your downside?
What's your downside?
Nothing.
Not really. No doubt.
Perception.
No real downside.
Perception.
Perception. But they don't care. Of going through more coaches and going through.
That you're overreacting or being rash.
Blame game.
Yeah.
You know, look at, they're blaming whom. Come on.
But at the same time, you could spin that in the perception being, after talking about not tolerating complacency, Theo Epstein is doing something in the name of accountability.
I also think it puts it on the players. I think this is right in line with what he said about production rather than talent, about doubling down on this mesh. Like, okay, you don't like this guy? All right, let's get a new guy. Now, let's see it. Let's see it make a difference now. You think this guy was the problem? I think it puts it on the players
Couldn't you begin a cycle, though, of getting rid of the hitting coach every year?
They're on it.
Yeah.
They're there.
How many have they had since 2011?
I mean, that's the other thing, too. A lot of teams, a lot of front offices, a lot of top guys have X amount of moves before they get removed themselves, right? We talk about Ryan Pace all the time and the fact that, well, you made your head coaching hire and you drafted your quarterback, and if these don't work, that's going to be it for you. There aren't a lot of GMs in the NFL that get to pick three coaches and two different quarterbacks,
sure.
Right? It's entirely possible that this is one front office in sports that has actually inoculated themselves against the firing of a coach. It could be that because of the way they sold themselves, because of the way they've put together a system, because of the way they won a World Series, that they get to hire as many coaches and as many managers. They might be the exception to something else, something that we've seen time and time again in sports.
We were talking about it in the post show yesterday. It's a pity that you can't trade draft picks, because the Cubs would have the greatest team in the history of the world forever and ever. And they just draft so well. They know what a player looks like. They know how to go out and do that sort of thing. And they're lucky. The Major League Baseball is lucky. If these guys were in the NFL, if they were different guys in a different sport, they would dominate it, because they know how to draft. Simple as that. You see talent come in. They know what a player looks like. It's a very important
quality.
Maybe
that's Theo's next job. NFL GM.
Well, I mean, is Jason McLeod going to get a job somewhere because he's part of that?
Well, that's not necessarily the case with pitching, though. And I know they haven't prioritized that, but they have prioritized position players in the draft. They're certainly not reinventing young pitching. And that's just that's philosophical. They think that once these freaks select out, they can overpay them and bring them in. But even that, you know, they had a bad offseason.
They did.
They had a bad offseason.
And that's why it looks funny when you fire the hitting coach. Because that wasn't really where the problem started or finished.
He was part of that offseason, though.
He was part of the offseason, fair enough.
I mean, they purged the entire coaching staff, and they spent $1 billion on Yu Darvish and Tyler Chatwood.
Jeez.
That's a bad – you still won 95 games.
And Brandon Morrow won 95 games. Yeah, at some point, you know, if you're able to identify the talent and draft it, that's one thing, and that's great. But you also have to avoid the stalling of that development. And I think that's, you know, as much as firing Chili Davis is going to be a focal point for this team this offseason, and a lot of talking points, a lot of articles written come spring, you can't afford to have all of these prospects, I'm using the quotes, but all of these guys hit the major league level and then stall at the same time. As much as we all figured that none of these guys are going to all make it. At some point, one of these guys is going to be a platoon player. One of these guys might be an AL player. However it works out, you can't have them all stall at the same time. It's why Javi Baez and Mookie Betts, as instances of Chili Davis either working or not working, are probably worth bringing up. Because it's not, you know, Chili Davis presided over Mookie Betts' breakout season 2 years ago, then had the fall-off season last year. Which one is he responsible
right.
for?
Right.
Which one did he do?
I think what you're saying is the Cubs are going to win 108 games next year. Right.
Well, all they need to do is spend another $50 billion on three guys who aren't going to play, and you win another 95 games.
Well, and think about it, too. Theo is clearly frustrated. There's only so much he can actually do. It has to be a very difficult position because sometimes...
You're saying this is all him?
It sure sounded like it, didn't it? I mean, they don't hide the ball from you very much. And when he sat there and said, you know, what we came out with there, that launch angle is not a fad, we had too many damn ground balls, that was raw and real. And I don't think we need to overthink this when he heard enough from the players to back up what he thought he saw going on when the offense broke. And this is a very simple and transparent way of taking a step to try to fix it.
Are the two things totally incongruous? This idea that you want to have some launch angle, but you want to have contact hitting and hit to all fields. If you think about the two hitting coaches, it was a philosophical shift that maybe didn't work, maybe confused the players. I don't know. But isn't there a middle ground that would work? I mean, isn't there a way of maintaining launch angle, but still – hitting for contact and trying to drive guys in and trying to take, you know, hit the ball where they ain't.
I think that's Joe's whole point. I think that's Joe's whole philosophy through the season. It's just whether that's communicated properly to the individual hitter or properly through Chili Davis and two hitters, and whether or not, you know, you're talking about the same stuff and whether the language you're using actually
but
hits.
Most people equate launch angle with home runs.
It isn't just home runs.
But it isn't.
What it is.
But that's what most people interpret it as.
What you have to remember about baseball.
It's line drives.
It is that huge swath of grass only has three guys out there. That area of dirt has everybody else. Now, the other six are all clustered in there.
You'd like to get the ball faster into the holes than by trying to run it there.
Get it over where the people are and hit it hard into the areas where there are fewer people standing.
That's a sensible idea.
It's not just over the fence. If it happens to go over the fence, that's great. But there are fewer people in a larger area. Hit it there where it's more likely to land.
Yeah, don't hit it at Lorenzo Cain.
How are you dealing with all of this?
Oh, not well. No, we are going to deal with all this today. Like I said, there's a lot of layers to this that we're going to talk about. And Bruce Levine is going to join us with the latest.
Special guy.
At 9:40. We've got Pete Futek previewing the weekend of college football at 10:40. We're going to do the midway at 11. Jonah Carey is going to preview the LCSs at 11:40. We are going to have a special Miami Dolphins-related guest at noon to take us behind the scenes there and scout the Bears' next opponent. We got three chances to win $1,000 in cash. I've got some Jimmy Butler information. I got a way of looking at how good or not great he actually is in the grand scheme of things. You know, a guy who carries himself as a star of stars.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it's a sort of a metric way, not numbers-wise, but a way of really saying how good is he to be this diva that he is.
I love a good metric without numbers. All right, we'll be listening.
It's a measurement. It's not a stat.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.